Well, today's message I entitled, Jesus, Our Living Hope. And I got that right from 1 Peter. I want to talk a little bit about hopelessness. We're going to talk about hope, but hopelessness. I know it's already been conveyed. I really appreciate how Glenn started the service, remembering with Lazarus' death and the hopelessness that his sisters were feeling. But I'm sure just even over the past year, right, since the pandemic hit, hopelessness has gone way up, right? Depression, anxiety, worry. There's a lot of things we can be struggling with. For those who are following Jesus, and maybe spending time, I've grown. For others, maybe you're following Jesus, like, wow, I've been having a really hard time. And for some, you're like, I wouldn't say I'm a follower of Christ, but I've had a hard time. And maybe for some, you're like, I've been able to get through. But I think in a lot of ways, there's been different things that we've experienced, maybe individually or even collectively as a world or a nation that can hit us. And you can feel that. I want to talk about one lady in the Bible today specifically. I felt as the Lord was just studying the different gospel narratives that talk about the resurrection story. I felt like God kept bringing me to one woman specifically, Mary Magdalene. And you don't know a lot about her in the Bible, but you do know that her and some other ladies, they supported Jesus' ministry, and they would go around and follow him and be a disciple. But Mary had a really hard past. It doesn't get into a lot of details, but in Luke 8, it talks about how Mary was filled with or possessed by 7 demons, and it was only through the ministry of Jesus that she was set free. And so you can imagine, or maybe try to imagine, what Mary must have felt like before encountering Jesus, right? That wasn't always everyone's circumstances, but in her circumstance, that's where she was at. She was in a place of bondage, a place of brokenness, a place of hurt. But she encountered Jesus, and Jesus set her free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Who the Son sets free. Now, I want to bring up this one lady in particular because she shows up in all Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. She's in all the gospel narratives. Mary Magdalene. Sometimes she's talking about just by herself. Sometimes there's another Mary with her. Sometimes there's another Mary and a Mary and a Mary. I've got to tell you, Mary's a great name. If you're named Mary, I'm just saying, they're taking up the gospel narrative. There's about 4 actually different Marys, and different scholars look at different Marys, which one is which, and who they're the mother of. But we're going to look at Mary Magdalene. So imagine Mary. She's had an amazing encounter with Jesus. She's been literally set free by Jesus and his ministry. But just like Jill was alluding to so well in the children's message, her savior, her rabbi, has died. So the hopelessness, right? It's like, that's the one who set me free, but then he wasn't able to be freed off the cross. And later on, his disciples would realize, oh, I knew what Jesus was talking about when he explained it. And Jesus alluded to that he must die in order to pay the penalty for our sins. But 3 days later, he would rise. But there was confusion because, like, who actually goes around and says that, right? I'm going to die 3 days later. Is he talking about a building? Is he talking about himself? What's going on? But I want to see just for a moment just Mary's interaction with Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew as she's going with another Mary in this gospel narrative to anoint the body of Jesus. But boy, does she have a surprise coming, right? So let's check this out. Matthew 28, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb." And like I said, there's a couple different Marys the other Mary could be. We're going to focus on Mary Magdalene for our time together. It says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake." Try to put yourself there for a moment. "But and behold, there was a great earthquake." So you got an earthquake. I've never been in an earthquake, but maybe you can relate. It says, "For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." And for those who are familiar with this story, you'll realize that the religious leaders did not want anyone to potentially try to steal the body. So they had the tomb enclosed, made sure the mortar was there, post some guards. There's going to be no way that Jesus would ever come back to life, or specifically that the disciples could steal the body and claim that he did that. Well, this is going a little bit different than what the religious leaders thought for the day, right? An earthquake came, the stone is rolled back, an angel is there, lightning, clothing white as snow. I wasn't sure if I would have a snow reference out here today. I'm thankful that I don't. I was like, I don't know, Lord, it could be a snow reference day, but we don't have it, so praise the Lord. And it says, for fear of the angel, the guards trembled and became like dead men. So I'm just like, Woo, this scene right now where Mary's encountering is like nothing I can even think of. But here's Mary just going to want to anoint the body with spices. And this is not going at all the way she thought, because she thought her Lord was still dead. In verse 5 it says, "But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said.'" Amen? He is not here. You got to take a moment, try to put yourself in the Mary's like head thought, right? Because you're going there and anoint a dead body. And you're encountering an angel. Some crazy stuff's going on. An angel's saying, "I know what you're looking for. He was crucified." We're all on the same basic fact level there. "But he is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." And so she did that. And the verse 7 says, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I've told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with a whole bunch of mixed emotions, as you probably would if you were in this place. But they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. They encountered an angel, and oftentimes angels are saying something like, "Fear not," or "Peace," or something. "It's going to be okay," because it's amazing. It's intense. But they had great joy. They ran to tell the disciples, and behold, this is so cool, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Isn't this a powerful moment, right? Lord and Savior has been dead. The one that had set Mary free from the demons, he's not in the grave still. He's not in the tomb. He's alive. They've heard that the angel said, "Hey, he's risen." And now they're encountering the risen Jesus in person. So the reaction was, take hold of his feet and worship him. And in verse 10 it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" What a powerful, powerful story. Jesus being raised from the dead, and then being able to be present with his disciples who literally have lost hope. When the one they were following for over the past 3 years has died, that's a long time to be following someone. Hopelessness can just sink in. But thanks be to God that he raised our Lord and Savior from the dead. Yeah, give glory to God. If we're going to clap, let's give it to Jesus. So I want to talk just a little bit about hopelessness a little bit more. Just this personal reflection, but what do you have hope in for today? What are you hoping for? Maybe you're hoping for something small, like I was hoping to fit into a suit. That didn't work. But I'm not emotionally devastated. At least I don't think so. Sometimes, though, we're hoping for a relationship to be reconciled. Maybe you have a family strain, coworker. You're really hoping for that. Maybe finances have been really challenging this past year, and you're like, "Oh man, I'm really hoping things might get resolved, or that debt might not be snowballing against me." Maybe you've been hoping for a healing or health to be improved. And sometimes we see that, and you see the hope fulfilled, right? And it just brings that great joy. But hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? When you're hoping for something and it doesn't come in. And maybe some of us are feeling that sickness of the heart. And like I said, sometimes it's easy like just to show that. And people know like, "Oh, that person's having a really hard time. This woman or this man struggling, or this child, this student having a hard time." But sometimes we can try to cover over our hopelessness, right? We can try to mask it, that everything's okay because I'm presenting an outside version that shows a version of hope. It's not real hope. It's just a version where inside depression, anxiety, hopelessness is a common friend. The reason why I know this is because I used to be there, to be honest. Specifically, I felt like I was asking the Lord, "What should I share about today?" I felt like God's like, "Share your testimony here." So I said, "Okay." But I remember when I was in college, I knew Christ when I was a young child and had grown for a while, but it hit some hard things. Some hard things hit me in college, and I didn't know how to handle them super well. And instead of relying and leaning more into Jesus, I started to muscle through it on my own. Maybe some of you can relate to this. And like the pandemic, none of us planned for that. It hits you. We have the option to either lean into Jesus, or we have the option to do the pandemic on our own. I remember in college, I started trying to push forward in the things of God, but on my own strength. And I had this external appearance that everything was okay. I'm doing great. Everything's going really, really good. But inside, I had this feeling of hopelessness and despair and depression that emotionally was just like destroying me from the inside. And physically, I was having so many health problems. I think I went to 5 different specialists to try to diagnose what this health problem was. But every doctor, specialist I went to always said I was completely physically healthy, because what was going on was something inside that only God could touch, that only God could fix. My inner world and my outer world did not match. I felt that hopelessness and that despair. In that time, I remember thinking to myself, God, I just don't want to go on this way. I was like, you created life. You can take life away. There's no reason why you can't just take me to be with you. I was in a pretty dark place, and maybe some of you can relate to that this morning. Everything on the outside, people are like, Jim's doing great. He's leading pretty much everything at this school, and I didn't want to, but I was. There I was, right? But inside, I just felt the pain. Thankfully, I encountered Jesus in a special way during that season, because even though I have struggled on my own and started to hold on to what I could do on my own and kind of let go of holding on to Jesus, Jesus never let go of me. Jesus never let go of me. And I felt like God gave me a poem that kind of reflected on that season I wanted to share. And maybe you can relate to some of this. So I wrote this. It says, pain for so long, I wonder why life can feel this way. For so many years, it's been easy to get by. Say the right words, smile, look others in the eye. But the pain I felt went deep beneath the skin. This is something more than a bruise to an eye from a nearby kin. God, why do I feel this way? I feel so alone. Everything I held dear is subtly gone. I invested everything into myself and what I own. God, please bring it back or let me be gone. I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your love. If anything, call me a traitor, but not a son. I only commit 1% of my life to you. This full-out surrender, God, I just cannot do. It's nearing midnight, and I cannot go on. Let me go. Let me go. I'm finding it difficult to hold on. And I'm so thankful that God doesn't leave us in our darkest moments. Amen? We might be in a tomb or in a grave, maybe relating to like maybe Lazarus in some levels, that man, we're not doing so great. But thankfully, God can call us out of our tombs and our graves. He has resurrection power. It goes on, it says, I let go and I found that I landed in your arms. Struggling so hard. Finally, I decided to let go. Trust God. Said, I let go and I found that I landed in your arms. For so many years, I thought I had to hang on. God, for so many years, I thought I had to be strong. Looking back, I can see where I went wrong, thinking of being mighty and neglecting the wrong. But God, a life lived for you is not based on works, but the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, who gave me a rebirth. The night is fading and the sun is coming. God, I want to let go, but not to fall away. God, I want to let go, but not to fade away. God, I want to let go and see the day. Father, hold me tight and lead the way. I know I've shared that before, but if you're in that place, I'm just like, I'm trying to make it. I really am. But I feel like I can't go on. Today's a great day to know that there's living hope in Jesus. Amen? That there is hope. Even when we let go of hope, if you know Jesus, if you let go of him like I did, he doesn't let go of you. Or if you have the experience to love of Jesus, to hope for the first time, God wants you to know that hope today. God does not give up on us, even if we're in a dark place like a tomb. Romans 8:11 says this. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. It's Romans 8:11. I love this passage, because it says that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, as we're celebrating today on Easter Resurrection Sunday, if it lives in you, then you will be spiritually reborn. You'll have that life in Jesus. That when Jesus came to die for us on the cross, 3 days in the grave, and be raised again, Mary and other Marys, they're super excited to tell everybody about that. They tell the other disciples. Eventually, they start telling other people. Jesus ultimately reveals himself to 500 different people after his resurrection, and then he ascended to be with the Heavenly Father, praying and interceding for you and for I. But Jesus didn't leave us as orphans. Jesus sent his Holy Spirit. He said, it's better that actually I go away, because I want to send the Paraclete, or the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, my presence, my spirit, to be with you, that at all times. Whether you're 2,000 years ago and about to take the gospel all around the world, I'm going to be with you. Or if you're in a place today and going through a pandemic in 2020, 2021, Jesus' Spirit is still the same today, amen? He will be with you. God's power is within you. His Spirit is abiding in you if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to ask the Lord, God, I want to know you in a personal way. Lord, would you forgive me? God, I want you to be the master. If you looked at my poem, I was trying to be the master. That didn't work out so well. I tried really, really, really hard. But then I realized that God's salvation, his gift, was all about grace. It wasn't something I could work for, something I had to receive, something I just had to take in by faith and believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. I want to invite up the musicians at this time, as we'll be going time of praise and worship as we're celebrating Jesus in song. Really excited for this. But I want to take a moment and just ask you, if you're here today and you have yet to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have yet to know this living hope, it's far beyond just an intellectual or religious exercise. God himself came down into the world to die for your sins and for my sins, so that we might have a relationship restored with him. And if you're here today and you have a place where you're just like, I'm having a rough time, I'm feeling really depressed, anxious, overwhelmed, we have a living hope that is constant. The cool thing about Jesus is our hope isn't based on our circumstance, amen? It's not based on our emotions either. Our hope is not based on how we're feeling, because how do we know we can go up and down, right? At least, again, go up and down with emotions, right? I'm so glad our hope isn't that fickle. Our hope's based on a person, and his name is Jesus. And if you want to know that hope, you simply can just talk to God. Say, God, I want to know you. And Lord, if you're in a place today where you're just like, God, I need to know that living hope afresh or for the first time. I'm having a hard time. I believe that God wants to meet you just like he met me. I didn't think he would. I thought he gave up on me. But little did I know that God is always faithful, even when we're not faithful, because he cannot deny himself. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the wonderful gift of sending your son to die for us. God, we thank you for the new resurrection life, the living hope that we have that's not based on our works, based on our circumstance. It's not based on our education. It's not based on our income. God, it's not based if we're a man or a woman. God, it's based on your love for us. And God, we can just simply receive that, Lord, that we can know the freedom. Like Mary Magdalene, she knew the freedom that Jesus brings. She also knew the hope, God, that you bring. And Lord, I just pray for those who are in the assembly hall today, in the lobby, anyone in the fellowship hall online. If you're in a place that you just need to just encounter Jesus in a fresh way, I just encourage you, as we have our heads bowed and your eyes are closed and we're just in time of prayer, feel free just to lift up your hands. I'm going to lift up my hands. I know I need Jesus in different ways in my life, but if you're needing Jesus to touch your life, to encounter him, not in an intellectual way, but like literally the person of Jesus, you need to know Jesus today. I encourage you to lift your hands up. There's so much power in just surrendering to God. Just keep our hands up for a moment. God, thank you for those who are wanting this today just to receive from you, God. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and our minds, God, our very body, God, with more and more of you. God, you say the byproduct of knowing you is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, God. It just overflows from knowing you. We're all on this journey together. And Lord, I pray that our lives will look more like you, more like our resurrected Lord and Savior, and less like us, God, that we might know you and proclaim you wherever you send us, Lord. God, we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.